15, I realized here a while back something that I had overlooked. For years we'd always said that the good seed was the Word. And I have reason to believe that is applicable. But if you look at it closer and read it with intensity, you'll find that the good seed, the Bible said, is the good children of the kingdom. That we don't preach the Word, we are the Word. And what you just heard was not a sermon. It was a life that has been lived. And that He is the message that was just delivered. God did that in the Old Testament. He took prophets and He made metaphors and illustrations and examples. If Ezekiel lived today, he'd be in an insane asylum. The crazy things God had him doing, some of it was crude and embarrassing, what God asked him to do. But later on, He told him, "You are the message, and I am making you the message." That's why one of my mentors that I respect so much taught me years ago that a man preaches from two platforms, either from what he has experienced or what he will experience. So you need to be careful about how you affect and approach the Word of the Lord. You're usually preaching what you have experienced or what you will experience. And I, along with Brother Hale, say, let's prophesy revival into good things of God and the blessing of the Lord. It's a high privilege to come to San Francisco, first time I've ever been here in my life. And it's a long way from Raleigh, North Carolina. A while back, my wife and I went back to the Philippine Islands to preach. I hadn't been there in 20 years, to Manila. About halfway over there, I turned to her on the airplane and I said, "Now I remember why I haven't been back in 20 years. It's a long way, long way." And I was coming over here today and I didn't realize it was as many times as you've been to North Carolina. Thank you. I have not appropriately said thank you. Because that, it is a long way. It's a joy to be here, though. And what I've already heard was worth my journey. Having my spirit challenged and to believe God for fresh oil and a fresh miracle and a fresh testimony and a fresh revival. I don't want to tell about what happened when we started the church in Raleigh. I want to talk about what's happening last Sunday. And what's going to happen next Sunday. And what God is going to do. Let me say how much I appreciate Brother Morgan, his passion, his vision, his selfless commitment to the cause of God globally and around the world. And I deeply appreciate his impact on the local church that I pastor and the district that I'm in and his friendship and fellowship. For all these years, there is something to be said about consistency and continuance. Consistency and continuance. If you've ever tried to play golf, I said try. Because I hardly know a good golfer. I do know this about golf. Everybody can tell you how to do it, and nobody can do it. I've never been on a golf course when people didn't try to improve my swing. And theirs was as bad as mine. But they could all tell me what I was doing wrong. I use that illustration to say this. They say in playing golf, one good shot will bring you back. But I want to tell you tonight, men like Brother Morgan, Brother Hughes, Brother Woodward, and Brother Hale have had more than one good shot. And they have continued in this. And as referencing the fact that so many of our elders are passing from the scene right now, and the apostolic church is having a shift change, we are in a major shift change right now, that we must have younger men to arise and to assume the mantles and the calling of God that's in this room right now. Seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So there is a great cloud of witnesses in this room. And there is a divine anointing and utterance that is here. I'm thrilled to be able to be here. And I enjoy so very much settings like this. I think it comes with age. I love to speak to ministry. I love to speak to young ministers. I love smaller group meetings. Someone has well said, you can impress people from a distance, but you have to get up close to impact people. And we have moved beyond the days of trying to impress. We need to be impacted. And that's what this type of meeting is good for. It's impactful. Thank you, Brother Morgan, for your passion and vision to bring to us such a meeting as this. And, of course, I'm challenged to come to a setting like this, knowing who has been here, knowing who is here, and knowing what can I bring here to bring a measure of direction from the Spirit. We all work within the confines of our own world of vision and passion. I'm concerned about the elevation and the motivation of individual ministries. I'm not losing any sleep over the collective body. The church is going to be all right. We've already heard that. The church is going to be all right. The prophesied word will be fulfilled. What we're here tonight in these next hours is to try to challenge and equip and posture those who want to be a part of what God is doing. That will separate themselves and come higher in the things of the Lord. So I want to try to help all of us tonight with a word of encouragement and instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21 is where we will read this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21. Thank you for the privileged invitation to be here. I love the United Pentecostal Church. We have the greatest preachers in the world. I'm glad one or two of you believe that. I said we have the greatest preachers in the world. We may not have sold masses of dollars of worth of books. We may not be heralded by TV ministries. But there is no anointing like is upon the apostolic ministry. And there's no revelation. That's why they preach our sermons. We're moving right along here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. If you're his adversary, he's terrible. If you're his friend, he's mighty. He's a mighty God. He's among you. And he's terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once. God said, I will not allow you to consume them at once. Lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. I want to try to shed a little light of encouragement upon your spirit here for the next few minutes and talk to you about the inhibitor of instantaneous success. The inhibitor of instantaneous success. I want us to try to unravel the confusion and the frustration relative to the dismal speed at which we experience spiritual success. Everybody in this room is somewhat, if I could use a North Carolina term, put out, disappointed, discouraged, and depressed that your ministry has not accelerated as fast as you'd like for it to go. It's just not moving at the rapidity that you would like for it to develop. Can I get a good response here? I don't really need an affirmation. I think I came affirmed. And I feel in my heart this is what we need to touch. You're upset about your confusion, your frustration toward your progression. And I want to say to you in the outset, it is not your personal inability. And it is not your enemy's superiority. Let's settle that right now. You need to quit beating yourself and pronouncing dumbness on your mind and your body and your ability. It is not your ignorance. And it is not your personal inability. And let's settle the issue. It is not our enemy's superiority or his great advantage over us. I don't have time to preach all the preach that is in this place. So we're struggling in this hour with success. This is a success-driven society. Everything is pushed and promoted and designed for success. As a matter of fact, there are three little g gods in our world right now that are strongly worshipped. Three little g gods. The first one is sports. I won't take time to preach on all these tonight. I'll give you some things to talk about. Sports is a little g god in America. Well, see, I'm telling you, can I take a moment here? The apostolic church is in trouble relative to sports. It is the largest area of compromise in our movement right now. I've been raised in this all my life. You want to talk about compromise? The greatest area of compromise is about sports. There was a day when you could touch sports and the people run the aisles and shout. Now they tighten up like y'all have. They don't want you messing with sports. And I'm not messing with it. I'm just telling you. It is a god in America. But it is a little g god. The second one is sex. The second god in America is sex. And the third one, relax, I'm not going to deal with either one of those. The pressure's off. You can breathe again. The third one is the one I will talk about tonight, and that is success. Those are the three little g gods in America. Sports, sex, and success. However, the word success is only mentioned one time in the Bible. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible. But the word faithful is replete in the Bible. And over and over and over. I'm here to tell you tonight, especially you that are youth and young in your ministry, God has not called you to be successful, but He has called you to be faithful. And if you are faithful, you are successful. Somebody say amen. So our progression of spiritual advancement is not relative to God's ability. God's ability is not in question tonight. God's willingness is not in question tonight. I'm here to challenge you. Dream the biggest dream you can dream. And God can do more than that. Imagine the greatest revival you could ever imagine. And God could do greater than that. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think, according to the power that works within you. I want to challenge you to dream big dreams and to believe God for phenomenal things, because you cannot present a situation before God that He is not able to produce if you can believe it. Because the Bible said in 1 John 2 that He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, for the sins of the whole world. You know what that verse tells me? Jesus paid for a greater revival than I've ever seen. Do you really realize Jesus paid for everybody to be saved? Calvary paid for everybody to be saved. Calvary paid for every UPC to be packed out. Calvary paid for every church to be overflowing. Calvary paid for every parking lot to be full. He purchased a big church. He purchased a great church. He purchased a powerful church. And all the promises of God in Him are yea, and they are amen. In Genesis 37:1, the Bible said, Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger. I believe God wants you to dwell in spiritual lands where your fathers were strangers. They never had opportunity to go there. They never saw it like that. They never experienced it like that. They never had the ability to be where God wants to take you. Somebody shout amen. But the question is not, can God handle it? The question is, can we handle it? The mighty miracle revival, the anointed ministry, the outpouring of the power of God, it must always be reminded and brought to our attention that it's got to be for His praise and not our prosperity. I want to say to you today, can you get a real miracle touch from God on your life and not go crazy? That's where we are. That's where we are. I'd like to build this to a little more crescendo, but I'm not going to really preach as such. I want to teach. And so I'll leave the crescendo off and just tell you this. Let me let the cat out of the bag and tell you who is the inhibitor of instantaneous success. It's God. It's God. Because God could send every one of us home next Sunday and double our churches. He could send us home next Sunday and everybody we touch starts getting healed. He could send us home next Sunday and everybody we lay our hands on could begin to speak in other tongues. And we could take our cities by great storm of revival. But I'm wondering if a week of that later, you'd be saying, have your people call my people. And you didn't give your phone number out anymore. I had to call your agent. And you'd be sending your magazine all over America publicizing what you've done and how great you've become. It must be to a place where we know it's His name and not our fame. It's His praise and not our prosperity. Now, this is supposed to be for young ministers. We need to be transparent. We need to be open. That's why many years ago when I started my ministry in Raleigh, North Carolina, I set myself on a salary. Now, this is debatable. You do what you want to do. I'm just throwing a thought out. The reason I want to be on a salary is if 100 men pray through next Sunday, it doesn't prosper me personally one dime. Because I want our church to know the reason I push them for Bible studies and evangelism is soul winning is not 10%. It's souls. It's got to be greater than a little envelope. It's got to be more than 10%. It's got to be about His kingdom, His cause, and Calvary. His spiritual, celestial, solar system has only room for one star. And He still wants to be the star of the show. Can we be blessed and still be approachable, accessible, and available? User, the Bible said, His name spread far abroad, for He was marvelously helped till He was strong. He was marvelously helped till He was strong. Perhaps each of us at some time or some point have felt that our victory and our success seemed to have a governor on it. No matter how hard we press, the speed of progress remains the same. So we must acknowledge that we cannot make anything grow by taking thought. The Bible said in Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, meddle just a minute and say a lot of people have been confused between growth and swelling. If I hit Brother Morgan on the head with a hammer and he gets a 2-inch knot on his head, he has not grown. He has just swollen. And too many people try to thrive and survive off somebody else's injuries by assuming other people's people into their congregation and claim that is growth. That is not growth. That is swelling. The only growth, according to the Bible, is he would only count those who were born in Zion. He only counts those who come into the church through the altar. That's where growth is. I wish somebody say amen right now. We can plant and we can water, but only God can make it grow. Jesus said, I will build my church. That which is accomplished by the flesh and not the spirit will eventually be rooted up. Matthew 15:13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted, hath not planted, shall be rooted up. So let us first establish this quickly and give credence to the fact that God wants everyone to be saved. Everybody say everyone. It is not his will that any should perish. So in the establishing of the inhibitor of instantaneous success, let me lay a foundation that you may not have considered from that verse. It's not his will that any should perish. So that involves the fact that God wants the lost to be saved, but he also wants the saved to be saved. He doesn't want the saved to be lost trying to save the lost. Thus it behooves us to pray as Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. It's seen by scriptural affirmation that it is possible for your works to be burned up and you still be saved. According to 1 Corinthians 3:15, it's possible that your works would be burned up and you'd be saved. God will not sacrifice your salvation for the benefit of his kingdom. He doesn't want you being lost trying to win the world for him. Proverbs 38:9 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, or say, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and still take the name of God in vain. I've got to let God bring to me what I need right now and what I can handle. It is possible, now check this out, it is possible that persistence pays off to one's own peril. A little humor here and then I'll bring you the scripture. I heard this story about a man who fell in love with this woman. So for every day for a year, he sent her an invitation to marry him. And the mailman delivered it every day. He wanted to marry this woman, so he sent her a love letter every day, every day, every day. And they said, you know what, it worked. She married the mailman. It is possible that persistence pays off to one's own peril. But in Psalm 106:15, the Bible said, he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. I don't want my request at the expense of the leanness of my soul. For the scripture states, beloved, I wish them of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I'm sure that you've done this, and I'm not the only one, but it is good. You know, I always enjoyed being around Brother J.T. Pugh. What an incredible man of God and a humorist he was. The challenge with Brother Pugh is you never knew whether he was being funny or serious. Because he would tell you a joke with a very serious, somber face. I remember him telling me here a while back, Brother Huntley, he said, you know, in my years of experience in the ministry, he said, he had this little grunt, you know, he said, I have found in all my years of ministry that it seems to work better if a preacher is a Christian. What do you think about that? He said, I have found that that seems to be the best. So I had a principle in my mind that I couldn't find a verse for. Have you ever felt something in the spirit you felt there should be Bible to validate, but nobody has really shown it to you? Of course, the Bible does say that Jesus gave commandments to the apostles through the Holy Ghost. So you can get a spiritual commandment that you may not know is in the Holy Writ. But eventually, someday, you'll find it's in the Bible if it comes from the true Spirit. So I had this thought. I was a little leery to preach it because I really hadn't had Bible validity for it. And I finally got it. And it made me happy to know I could preach this because now I had Bible. It is my opinion, and has been for a long time, that God does not bless churches. God does not bless churches. God blesses ministries. And the church is only blessed to the proportion that the man stands here is blessed. And I had thought about that and thought, there's got to be a verse to validate that. And I found it. I know this is not supposed to be an aisle running time, but I may have to take me a little lap here because this thing is, it's got a hold of me like you were talking about how to you. Listen to this. When David and Goliath squared off in that battlefield, the Bible said they set their armies in array. And Goliath stopped it. Goliath said, no, no, no. This ain't the way we're going to fight. I am the champion of the Philistines. You send out your champion. This is not going to be army against army. It's one man against one enemy. And then Goliath said a mouthful when he said, whatever happens to your champion happens to you. Whatever happens to me as the champion of my people is going to happen to them. So it all hinges on what happens right here. So the church is blessed directly in proportion to the blessing of God that is on the man that stands in the pulpit. That's why every church needs to pray that God will bless their pastor, bless their leader. That's how the church will be blessed. You talked about the anointing oil. The anointing oil doesn't even come on the body. The Bible said it comes from the head. And flows down to the body. The anointing in a church comes through the head and the life of the ministry that is in that body. So Goliath said, no, it's not going to be army against army. What happens to you happens to your people. What happens to me happens to my people. That's why the ministry's got to have joy. The ministry's got to have victory. The ministry's got to have power. The ministry's got to have faith. The ministry's got to have liberty. Because whatever happens here is going to be happening out there. It's going to be happening out there. And I see a lot of young men across the country. They're all upset. They're confused. They turn bitter against their church. But my church, I want to tell you, your church can only grow as fast as you grow. It takes a growing man to produce a growing church. And a pastor can never take a church where he hasn't been himself. One reason our services are not more powerful is because they have not been prepared adequately. I think the pastor or the spiritual leader in prayer, hours in prayer before he preaches the word, should not give all of his attention to the preaching, but to the preparation of the service. Because if you adequately prepare, there are no surprises to you in that service. You've already seen it. You've already been there. You know it's fixing to break loose right here. You know they're getting ready to be healed right there. You know this is as far as we're going with this service because you've already been there in the spirit and you're just waiting on everybody else to catch up with you. So God can only bless us as much as we can handle. Our challenge is to be more, I'm going to make up some words here maybe, is to be more blessable, more usable, more serviceable. God is working with all we're giving Him. God is doing the best He can with what we're preparing for Him. When we give Him more to bless, He will bless more. When we give Him something else He can use, He will use it. But first of all, He's working with the confines of our spiritual level at that time. If someone asked me, you know, what would you like to do over again in Raleigh? You know, we've been there 36 years, started with five people. And I've often said, Lord, have mercy. If I could have only been 20 years ago where I am right now. But the whole problem was not God and the church. It was me. It was God waiting on me to reach that level so that He could do what He wanted to do with that church. If we're not careful, we can outrun our spiritual headlights. We start going so fast that we're running faster than our spiritual lights allow us to see. We must not let our so-called success outrun our submission and our consecration to God. We must not put a greater significance upon what we do for God than what we are in God. I'm here to preach to you tonight and teach to you that God is more interested in you being saved than you being a success. He is more interested in you being saved than in you being a success. So what is the inhibitor of instantaneous success? It's not the devil, society, sin, or fleshly inability. It's not our doctrine. It's not our standards. It's not our affiliation. We need to get over our handicaps and our hang-ups. Being apostolic is not hindering our growth. Having standards of holiness is not hindering our growth. God told Israel, success will be sure, but it will not be instantaneous. I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to be little by little. They were promised victory, but it would come in increments and installments because instantaneous success would expose them to what the scripture called beast. He said, if you go in there and you cut all the trees of the land down and you level it all and you just go in and clear it right away, real quickly, there's no place for the beast to run, and they're going to eat you up. So I hasten the point to reveal the beast that lurked to take as their prey the novice that stands in clear-cut field of total instantaneous success. Have we not seen enough people consumed by the beast? By their seemingly quick success, overnight miracle ministries, and they stand rawly, unprotectively in the presence of the beast. So let me introduce you to some of these devouring, destructive beasts that if you experience instantaneous success, that you will meet that you've never met before. And here's the beast. Pride. And I want to say in pride, just in passing, if you ever get to where you think you deserve something, you're in trouble. If you ever get to feel like that you ought to be up front in a good hotel, fed a certain quality of meals, or taken a certain place, you're already in trouble. When you start feeling like you merit something. Pride, conceit, arrogance, haughtiness, self-reliance, egotism, super spirituality, and holier than thou. I observed this as a young preacher years ago. I was in a camp meeting. I was the day speaker, more or less preached to the kids, and this other guy was preaching the nights. It was a mighty move of God. It happened in North Carolina. It was one of the greatest things I've seen. We were in the preliminary part of the worship service, and the Spirit got to really moving. And the service leaders decided not to give it to the preacher that night, but to go with the flow of the Spirit. And I know of many noticeable, irrefutable miracles that transpired that night. One of them was a young lady that's in our district to this day, who still is blessed by the miracle she got that night. She walked with a great limp, so she had to have a shoe built up about that high. She went through a prayer line and began to dance and praise God and kicked her shoes off and began to walk perfectly level. Her legs, for the first time in her life, were the same length. We took up money that night and bought her first pair of normal shoes. To this day, she's still in North Carolina, and she wears normal shoes. No need of any building up at all. My cousin was trying to become a missionary, and he'd been in debate whether he'd be able to go or not because of an injury to his leg. God healed him that night, and he did serve as a missionary for many years. One of our pastor's wife was an extreme diabetic. She was healed that night. She went back to the doctor later on. She was suffering some real negative effects. And the doctor said, the only problem I can tell is you're taking medicine you don't need. She was healed that night. All of these were noticeable miracles that took place in that one service. After church that night, the evangelist that was scheduled to preach threw a fit. I would not say this other than the fact his ministry here. He was so mad because they didn't give him the service. He protested loudly and boldly, you should have let me preach. I had the message. I had a word. And he was put out with the district board because they let the Spirit move and people got the Holy Ghost and people got healed. That same man has been consumed by the beast. Because he felt that he was capable of doing something greater than what God could do. That he had a message that would have been higher and more powerful than what God could do in that moment. and the beast have consumed him. He spends all his time now as a televangelist trying to raise money. Doesn't even preach the gospel anymore. It's just a message of finances. Ephesians 6 and 12 speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places. The higher men elevate you, the less covering you have. I want to say that again. If you aspire to high, lofty places, be advised. The higher men elevate you, the less covering you have, and the greater target you become for the adversary. In the physical military world, it is said, if you see a man amongst your enemy giving instructions and orders, kill him. That's the way they're trained in the military. And don't you think spiritual warfare would be exactly the same way? That those that are leading the charge, given the spiritual directions, are the ones the enemy is coming after. We'd only been in Raleigh a few years. Our church was highly favored by the Lord in this organization to be featured on the national CFC film strip. Our church was sent to every church in the UPC by way of film strip, advertising what God had done in our church, blessings of the Lord, the growth, and so on and so forth. I'm here to tell you that practically every person on that film strip, the devil attacked them. Every one of them. We paid a great price for that because the enemy does not want anybody being used to a dimension to bring encouragement to somebody else that you can be blessed, you can have revival, you can be anointed. There will always be a price to pay. For every new level, there is a new devil. Therefore, we are purposely inhibited by God until God is convinced that we are trustworthy. First for our own souls, and then for those that will be under our tutelage. That's why God exposes us to continual proving before promoting. Because He doesn't want you to be destroyed by the beast. It is you are not holding back your ministry. As far as your ability, the only thing that's holding it back is our submission to God and our obedience to God. God is looking for somebody right now to do in this great last hour of the church unprecedented spiritual exploits. Things that have never been done in the history of the church. But He's looking for somebody that He can use to do that with. That will just sit down when they get through and listen to somebody else preach and come to the altar when somebody else gets through preaching and submit to a pastor and be under leadership and be under authority so God can bless you. Stand up and give the Lord praise right now, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, in your almighty name, Jesus, prepare us. Prepare us. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy. So the truth is, God is doing about all He can do with you right now. And He's doing about all He can do with me. Unless I can convince Him. You can bless me, and I won't go crazy. You can bless me, and I'll give you the glory for it. And I'll give you the praise for it. And I'll always be quick to say, it's the Lord's mercies. It's the Lord's grace. It's the Lord's kindness. There's miracle ministries here for somebody who'll give God the glory. There's a miracle church planter here, a great pastor here, a missionary to do an unprecedented work. If somebody can just realize it's to God be the glory. He said, I can't let you have it all at once. The beast will devour you. The beast will devour you. Lift your hands and tell him you want to be covered by the blood. You want to be submitted. You want to be yielded. You want to be able to maybe have the biggest church in your district and still come to rallies. You want to be able to perhaps have the fastest growing church in the area and still encourage somebody else. You maybe want to be the camp meeting preacher, the general conference preacher, but you want to be able to come to an altar when somebody preaches and just started because it's the word of the Lord. Lift your hands and give yourself to him right now.